I told you, once you use LSD, you start feeling like God. That is why me, I didn't believe. I can't believe one word of it. One word. I'll just be looking at you like this. Hey, it's my husband's sister. Anytime I see that girl's face, there's a way she used to look at me. That's why I used to miscarry. I said, you must be an unbeliever. Your husband's sister, who is a witch, is using eye to look at you and making you miscarry. A witch, use eye to look at you. You miscarry. You are an unbeliever. What did I say? Unbeliever. You don't believe anything. Don't, that kind of thing. Don't even share the testimony. Because it's an embarrassing testimony. I'd rather hear that they told me not to jog. I went to jog. After jogging and jogging, I now miscarried. I said, well, the next time, don't jog. They told me not to drink that, maybe drink kankan in pregnancy. Now go drink kankan in pregnancy. Now miscarry. That's a better testimony for a Christian. Drinking kankan is bad, though. Bible says you should be given to him that wants to be destroyed. So at least we know you were trying to destroy yourself. That also. Honestly, to me, he's a more responsible testimony that I went to drink kanka and then that day they were sharing Indian hemp and I smoked small. Then all of them put together and then miscarried. It's a better, though it's a very, we should beat you. You get my point? We should have you flogged. But having said that, it is a better testimony than for a Christian to come and say, my sister-in-law caught eye for me like this. And that girl is known to be an Ogbanje spirit. Now I'm miscarried. That's a shame. What did I say? There are things you shouldn't say. Even if they happened, you should go and hide. When they say, what happened? Why did you miscarry? They say, we thank God. The Lord give it. The Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That they don't say anything more than that. So next time I'll take my folic acid on time. You don't say things that are more spiritually presentable. This is a story I told you really happened. When I went to Oka to go and preach, one girl came and met me and said, after I finished preaching, we're taking a small break before we came back to Enugu. No, not Oka, sorry, Onitsha. That please, I should come and pray for her. What happened? That she dreamt. And her mother gave an egg to eat inside the dream. I said, so? So since that time, the thing has been inside her chest. So she believes that her mother once is a witch, wants to initiate her into witchcraft. And so the mother appeared in a dream and gave her an egg to eat. So what am I supposed to do? I am supposed to pray. I said, my friend, get away from here. She looked at me. I said, go away, my friend. I don't have prayer left for people like you. Shift. Please, I said, listen, my friend. He said, the thing is still there. You can feel it. I said, yeah. You've forgotten that they introduced me just now as a doctor. Did you forgotten? He said, yes, he hasn't forgotten. That no, she has not forgotten. I said, listen, I learned that one in school. I gave her the medical word. I said, it's called globus hystericus. When you're afraid, everything clumps in your chest. You don't know? Even those who did not see any visions, things are in their chest. Let me tell you, just go and borrow money from many people that you can't pay. Just borrow money, or women, go and buy jewelry and clothes on credit. End of the month, go and check. There will be lumps in your chest. Once your phone rings, the lump will just go into your chest like this. You know, I told you, for people say they are pursuing my dream. You are owing people money. That's all. No, no, no. Listen to me. No witch is pursuing you. It's your creditors that are pursuing you. They took on spiritual flesh. It's not what they're saying is, where's my money? You now see that somebody's pursuing your dream. I told the young girl that they say, forget it. I'm not. That is, she couldn't get me to bless. I'm not going to pray for you. Number one, your mother is not a witch. Number two, she didn't appear to you in any dream. The problem was that you saw Patience Ozokwo in the last film. She has not left your mind. I'm telling you the truth. No, you know, when I was young, I don't know why. When I was a little boy, I just used to like horror movies. Don't ask me why. The days before everybody, videos everywhere, those very, very, this is in the 80s, you understand? I would stay up at night because NTA used to show, I think on Tuesdays or so, Hammer House of Horror. Remember Hammer House of Horror? Everybody in our house would have gone to sleep. I was a young boy, teenager. Early teens, though, not even late teens. Instead of me to go and sleep, I will go and lie down there and be waiting for 11:15. Because news cap was at 11. It will end 11:15, then they will now start Hammer House of Horror. Don't ask me why. I just will get up and come and watch it. And I was afraid. That's another interesting part. I was afraid. I used to come out with a pillow or something to cover my eyes. So when they change the scene, I first block the scene like this. Then I gently remove the pillow to see. Now, the funny part is that who begged me? And I will do this every week. Now, why did I stop watching horror movies? That's why I'm telling you the story. For a long time, after I entered university, started studying the Word of Faith and all of that, I didn't bother anymore. Then one day, after graduating from school, I had finished university. I just graduated. Actually, before we finished exam, then my friend and I went to go and play in one brother's house. He's a doctor, you know. He had a clinic. So we just went to his house to just go and chill out for like a week before we come back to school. All right? Get our results and pack up and leave. So in his house, he had films and everything. They now give us one film to watch, which was a horror movie. It wasn't full horror, you know, but it has a theme of supernatural, devil, and stuff like that, the kind of things inside it. And we watched it, and it was a nice film. Except that after that day, this is the funny part, I realized, because before then, I could walk out in the dark at any time. I didn't care, you know, man of faith, amen, praise God. I knew the word of God. But I just realized that after that day, after I watched that film, if I'm going to a dark place, you understand? Suddenly a kind of fear leaps up inside me that I have to fight deliberately. I don't know what I get my point. I have to consciously fight that thing. That was the last day I watched a horror movie. Not because I was afraid of anything. But I just said, what kind of nonsense is this? Why should I sit down and create fear for myself? Before you know what's happening, every little thing in your life, you start interpreting it in life in the light of... And in those films, there's something I mentioned it before here, that one thing those films always do, they show you that the devil can never be defeated. Go and check them. I used to watch horror movies. I watched plenty. There was not one. There's not one that the devil was totally defeated. But there's only one. I don't know that. Okay, one. I remember the one of those episodes of Hammer House of Horror, in which the witch seemed to have been exterminated in that particular episode. Seemed to have been. But all the other movies I've seen in life that had devil, unless it was made by Christians, the devil was never defeated. Never. It will always come back. Usually, as you are finishing the movie, you see one corner somewhere. One side where the thing says, next time, I'll be back. You see it? No, why am I saying that? People fill their hearts with things that cause them to fear. They now go and sleep. That young girl came and said that she dreamt. That a witch, listen, let me tell you the truth. No witch. Take this message to people who need to hear it. No witch is initiated in the dream. What did I say? No witch is initiated in the dream. So forget all of those lies. What makes those lies, all right, popular is ignorant preachers. I went somewhere one day. A man was preaching. By the time he finished preaching, I was confused. Olayinka, were you there with me or Israel? Bishop, was it you? It was you, Bishop. You and it was me and I, you and I that went to watch this thing together. No, we didn't go to watch. There's a place I went to preach one day. Before I preached. Can you remember? It was him. He carried me there. In his car. He drove there. We sat down. By the time the man finished preaching, Bishop and I left there earlier. We were a bit confused. The man described all the evil work that the devil was doing. Terrible things. How women were changing to men, and men were turning themselves to antelopes, and antelopes were converting back to this thing. I didn't know the bishop and I looked at each other, I said, like, listen, bros, excuse me. What have you told us today? What confidence have you built in our hearts for sitting under your ministry for the last 40 minutes? What confidence? Think about it. Have you generated confidence or fear? That day, listen, after I finished listening to the message, I said, this man has peddled more fear in the hearts of Christians than confidence. That is a kind of thing, you understand, that causes people to become afraid. Do such things happen? You know my answer? I don't really care. I don't care. Such things, do they happen? I don't care. I'm not a sinner. Do I look like a sinner? I'm a child of God. I'm anointed of the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in every part of these home videos and stories that they tell. Listen, I have been bought by the blood of Jesus. My sins are forgiven. I'm a citizen of heaven. God is not only my father, he's my friend. I hope you understand what I'm saying. No demon can inhabit my head, my life, any part of me. Any witch that wants to die early is the one that jams my window. Same to you. Amen. You have been bought by the blood of Jesus. Amen. You are free in Christ Jesus. Amen. No demon can possess you. Amen. I hope you are getting my point. Yes. There is no... I don't say that my grandfather was an Ogbanje spirit. That's his personal problem. What did I say? That's his personal problem. Your own father now is not a spirit of Ogbanje. He's the father of all spirits. He's the heavenly father. Are you getting my point? Therefore, listen. I don't know why I just went into this evening. Christians should pray from that perspective. That's why I say pray from a victor's perspective. Stop wasting time thinking that the devil can do anything to you. Let me end it with this. The only thing Satan can do to you is to tempt you. He tempts you two ways. One, actually at the end of the day, it's the same thing. All right? But let's just separate it into two. One, he tempts you to disobey the word of God. And two, tempts you to walk into... No, let me say the first one again. First, he tempts you to disbelieve. That's what I wanted to say. To refuse to accept the word of God. That's number one. And number two, it tends you to disobey the instructions in the word of God, which is what we all know as sin. We don't realize that the first one is as much sin as the second one. They tell you, like that story I was telling you, the man finished preaching about the victor that we are in Christ Jesus, the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. And the woman said, that thing you have said, I don't believe it too. Let me come and tell you my experience. She used her experience that was a false experience. A false experience. You know this one of, you know, I told you about bats flying inside. What I never told you is that when I was health officer, a bat also flew into my room. Once you don't have a screen on your net, a bat will enter your house one day. Say amen. You don't want to say amen. Say, I'm telling you now, you have to know. Once your window is not screened and you prosper properly, a bat will enter your room one day. It's not a sign of a bat. That's why I say you should say amen. A sign of prosperity. Because when God has prospered you, you will stop living in all these concrete jungles. You buy a big, you know, big land and buy, you know, there will be trees all over your compound. Then the bats will come and stay there, and it's not a problem. They are just, what are they? Are they birds or rats? I don't even know. But they are something, sure. But they are not evil spirits. When I was the house officer, that's how one night, bat entered into my room. I just look at the bat, just cover myself and continue sleeping. But you know why? After a while, I got up, left that room, went to another one. You know why? It wouldn't stay in one place. I had no problem. Just stay in one corner. Let me sleep. In the morning, we'll find out to get you back to your father's house. You know that kind of thing. It doesn't bother me. It shouldn't bother you. I mean, what is it? You know, some children are afraid of cockroaches. In fact, my kids, they are afraid of cockroaches. In fact, there's a big tree will come and say, you say, go and have your bath. You enter the bathroom, maybe sees a cockroach, come back. There's cockroach there. Cockroach. There's cockroach inside there. Say, don't worry. You know, as adults, say, don't worry, have your bath. No, lie, the boy is not going inside. You have to come and look for the cockroach and kill it. And the number of times it turned out that it's a dead one. So you have to come and remove it. You know, it's funny now, we're all laughing. But you know, a lot of adults, if it was a bat, that's it. That's it. They will go and call deliverance minister to deliver a dead cockroach. My children used to call deliverance daddy and deliverance mommy to come and remove dead cockroaches. Now adult Christians now call deliverance ministers to come and remove bats. Or you have an owl near your window. Ooh, coo, 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 coo. That's it. They're not going near them again. Never. Oh God, why am I talking like this? You know, sometimes I'm not happy I'm an African preacher. Because to me, these things, I shouldn't be discussing them. Or was it like this in India? Oh, they're on Kali, eight-headed goddess, or whatever, eight-armed goddess. Hey, look, come on. I honestly won't lie to you. I actually don't listen. I don't like saying these things. Except that when you go out there, people are actually tormented by these lies every day. Let me say to you again, though, please don't make me preach this message again. I don't like it. Let me say to you again, in Christ Jesus, you are free. Amen?
Amen.
There are two sides of this story. One, half of the stories they tell outside there, they are lies. Satan rides on those lies to try and scare the people of God. Don't fall for it. The second half is that Satan is there. He's harassing those who are subject to him. I'm saying to you again this night, you are not subject to the devil.
Amen.
Let's summarize this. The reason why you have not gotten a job is not because of Satan. Amen?
Amen.
The reason why you've not gotten a wife is not because there are Obanje spirits. You know what he's saying? Somebody swore for my grandmother those days that her grandsons will not get wives on time. The reason why you don't have a wife is because you have not read, should I say yes? Because deliverance is in the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Uh-huh. The reason is not because anybody is pursuing. The reason why your business has had issues has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the devil. There are things you have not learned, and you must learn them. Do you get my point? If you are having problems in your home, maybe with your wife, your children, whatever it is, please, I'm asking you again today, do not do any warfare against the devil. It is not the devil. What did I say? Please say it like you believe it. You know why? The devil has mates and you are not his mate. That is the idea. I can't go to my office now. They said the reason why my office is not in order is because of one of my cleaners. What do I do? I have the person sacked. If my office is upside down, it's my personal problem. I'm the one I cannot say somebody that's supposed to just clean the office is the reason why I'm having problems in that office. If that was the issue, I would have told the fellow, yeah, you're not working here anymore. And that's the end of it. Let me say to you again, Satan has his mate too, and you are not one of them. You are not one of them.
Amen.
I say you are not one of them.
Amen.
Let me say it again, you are not one of his mates.
Amen.
You are high above in Christ Jesus. Please, don't let all this African nonsense be disturbing your soul. Any problem you have in life as a believer, we settle down and take the word of God and raise it up over that thing. He said, what if there's a devil there? Once he sees that word, what does he do? He moves away. That is what he does. You take the word of God and elevate it. It is not necessary. You're having problems with your children at home saying, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, you won't do anything in this house. I have come to a conclusion now, it's not necessary. Take the word of God and elevate that word. That name, Satan, should be read in your mouth. Your children are not doing well in school. Say, all the people that say my children will not succeed, I come against you in the name of Jesus. Satan, I'm telling you. It's not necessary. Invoke the blessing of God upon them. Put a hand upon them. Say, listen, you, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be intelligent. I speak insight into you. In the name of Jesus, I declare that you are the seed of the righteous, therefore you'll be mighty on this earth. Just keep lifting up the word of God. Any devil in that arena, you know what he does? He said, this is a risky zone. This is not good. Because angels hearken to the voice of his word. Do you understand my point? And when they draw their sword, where Satan is, Satan knows it's a dangerous thing. So he lives quietly. According to Archbishop Benson in Dawosa in his days, he said, when you give the devil attention, he gives you direction. That's a matter of fact. If every problem you have in life, you think is the devil, he will tell you what to do about it. What have I tried to say today? Maybe next time we'll begin to look at that in our School of Bible Exegesis, which we've not had for a long time. We've been doing School of Prayer for some time.
I think let's just add this on to the last portion of prayer and personal purification. What have I tried to say today? A Christian prays from a victor's perspective. What did I say?
A Christian prays from a victor's perspective.
That's the idea. He doesn't pray. She does not pray thinking that he or she is a victim. And if I don't pray, Satan will do something to me. No. The way by which we solve our problems is to lift up the word of God as a standard there. That's it. I said to you before, let me say it again. He said, submit and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is, how you resist the devil is by humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. Are you getting my point? It's when you submit to God that you resist the devil. Submission to God is resistance to the devil. I resist you, I resist you. That's not submitting to the authority of the word of God is nothing. Satan does not understand that I resist you. I don't know whether I get my point. One day, my wife said something long ago. This was short after we married. Maybe I'm walking. She came to me and said, No. Don't laugh too much. Because I was just busy doing what I was doing. And we were just two of us, nobody else. You know that kind of thing. So if your husband is busy on his computer, the computer becomes the second wife. In fact, there was a time she used to pray that my computer would spoil. We were in Transeculo that time. So one day I think I was on the computer. I don't know what I was doing. I was writing. And I came and said, my husband, when last did you tell me you loved me? If I only even, he said, when last did you even hug me? When last did you kiss me? So I turned and I said, I love you, I hug you, I kiss you. And I continued. I remember because it was so funny. How can you tell somebody, I hug you and I kiss you? Then you turn back and continue the iniquity you were doing. That's what some of us do with the devil. He said, I resist you. They would say, you're not resisting me, you're my friend. He said, I resist you. They said, stop this nonsense, my friend. You're my friend. Why? Because I resist you has no meaning. That's what I'm telling the story. You can't tell your wife, say, I love you. It makes sense. That one is good. Now say, I hug you, I kiss you. Either you want to hug or you want to kiss. You don't just say, you sit down in Israel. He said, you may kiss the bride. I say, I kiss you. What kind of nonsense is that? You know, and that I say you may kiss your bride, and I just said to the bride, say, baby, I kiss you. Come on, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. The way by which you resist the devil is we take the word of God, attach ourselves to it, and the devil is resisted. It's not by telling him, I resist you. No, when the Bible says we should resist the devil, he first said that we have to submit to God, humble ourselves before God. All right? When you submit to God, then you resist the devil, he flees. That is, submission to God is resistance to the devil. That was why Abraham did not know about the devil. Job did not know about the devil. David did not know about the devil. But once those men submitted themselves to God, the resisting of the devil was part of their lives. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please, let that word devil be scarce in your mouth. Especially concerning your own private life. If you are praying for somebody else, it's a different matter. Sometimes you need to break that hold so that person will see clearly for a while. And then you have to fill that place with the word of God. Otherwise, that devil goes, when he's coming back, there are going to be 8 of them. Him and 7 spirits more wicked, stronger, because he doesn't want another attack to drive him away anyhow. That is what will happen. So even though you pray for people, break the power of the devil over their lives, you have to pray for mercy so that God will send, angels with the word of God to them. That is like Peter was sent. That's what I mean by angels. Now, angel took Cornelius, go and call Peter. At the point in time, God sent Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. You need to pray that prayer. Otherwise, you pray for something, break the power of the devil over the person's life. After a while you are not watching, the devil will come back. And the prayer next time becomes more difficult. Are you getting my point? So as you are breaking that power of the devil, you also have to continue to pray other prayers for the people. And
with the end that the person's life will be filled with the word of God. That is why I won't lie to you. Forget all of this noise you hear sometimes. Praying for an adult can be difficult. You know, say, so pray for another adult. I don't want to get into it. You pray your prayer and just let me put the word. Hey, is it good? Like, let me know you wrote faith from people's hearts. You pray your prayer and hope for the best. You know, like they say. You know why? The adult still has to make a personal choice to follow God. You cannot force any adult. You can't. That's what I mean by praying for an adult. You know, praying for your children is simple. Ah, that one, simple. Because you will follow, adults, you will follow them to God. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you follow God for them, yes. Like this morning, when I came down, I heard my wife. No, they had a cane in the hand. The children were repeating. Oh, the people were repeating this morning. Galatians 2:20. Uh-huh. How did it go again? All of them were reciting it. Nevertheless, I live. The life I've been crucified with Christ. I came down, all of them. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Galatians 2:20. All of them were reciting it. So I entered the kitchen. Then one of them came and said, Mommy, parents is not saying it. Eh? He's not? Where's the cane? So Benga gladly held the cane. Oh, yeah? When the guy looked the cane, I've been crucified with Christ. Believe me, I've been crucified with Christ. You know, it's very easy to follow God for those children. Very, very easy. But when he's an adult, I'm sorry. All you can do is continue to pray. And because the children are under your power, under your authority, even when they misbehave, your power of intercession is so powerful. In fact, they can't sin under your roof. It sounds funny. A child can't sin under your roof. You are the only one that can sin in that house. You are the only sinner in the house. You and your wife, or you and your husband. All the children are saints. Anything they do wrong is you that did it wrong. So praying for them is very simple. Just come there, yeah? You behave. No evil will befall you. Whether it's sin or not, no evil will. His actions cannot bring evil or into that house. And they are children. One is an adult. Ah. Father, have mercy on him. Let us see this is evil work, not bring judgment in his life. I pray for him in the name of Jesus. This girl, God, please, for all this urukuruku, may she not die. Then you now pray, Lord, let the light of the gospel. You start praying. That fellow still has to one day, by himself, by herself, accept the gospel. If he continues rejecting, God will hear your prayer for about four sessions. I don't know whether it's 4 years or 40 years. But after the fourth cycle, see, uproot him. What I think is a matter of fact. All right? But that's I'm just talking about when you start facing them. But your personal life, please, what do you do? Just raise up the standard of God in your home. Raise up the standard of God in your life. Raise it up over your children, over your business. And obey the word of God all the time. Go and listen to the message I preached talking about following God fully. The word of God has many aspects. It has many aspects. We talked about 5 different aspects, all right, of the word of God. There are promises, all right? That's very important. You keep on lifting that promise, those promises, over your life, over your children, over your business. Very, very crucial. Then number 2, we said there are precepts. Please, I want to emphasize that again. Satan is not your problem. Oftentimes, you are disobeying the precepts of God. What are the precepts of God? There's just an order by which God says things should be done. It's just an order. There are orders that are Christian. We're talking about business. I said it last time on Saturday. I said, he that sows to his flesh will from that flesh reap corruption. There's an order to that. It's a precept of God. It's a structure in life. What does that mean? If you go out to do business and primarily what's in your heart is how to make money, it will eventually collapse. Christian businesses don't follow that path. We don't sell things to anybody that we're not sure will be a blessing to the person. We are so concerned about the welfare of our customers. That's a Christian business. No matter how much you lift up the word of God over your business, if you don't have that precept operating in your business, you will always have problems. We said the word of God also has commandments. I won't discuss that now, all right? Because that's not what we're teaching about. I'm closing now. And then we say it also has testimonies. What are testimonies? Things that are just personal to you. They are just personal to you. Now, is it that we're talking about Kingdom World again this evening? Because I had some trips to take, some places to go, and all of that. And I just had this personal issue. If I'm not here on Saturday, I must be preaching somewhere. It's just a personal thing. So this one looks like I will not be here on one or two Saturdays, and I won't be preaching. Ah, how do we solve this? And I said, okay, let's declare it a holiday and compensate later at the end of the year. You know, it's not a commandment of the Bible, it's just a personal thing. But the one I want to emphasize, all right, then of course the last one are ordinances, all right, that's the fifth part of it, all right. But the one I want to emphasize again for us today is one, the promises of God, number two, the precepts. Those two. Satan cannot wreck your business. He doesn't have the power. What do you think he does? He does not. These are the two reasons why a Christian business will have problems. One, you are not constantly lifting up the word of God over it. Everybody's saying that the reason why you're having problems is because you're not in America. What are you saying? 9 out of 10 businesses that start in America also collapse in the first 5 years. In the next 5 years, of the surviving 1 out of 10, 9 tenths will also collapse over the next 5 years. Mean that in America, 1 out of 100 businesses started last 10 years. So you never accept that the reason why your business is not doing well is because it's not in Lagos, it's not in America, it's not in... No, you don't accept it. That which I see not, teach thou me. You keep on lifting up the standard, you keep on declaring the word of God. Success is my portion. Victory is my portion. I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I'm a righteous man. Whatever I put my hand to do, we prosper. I meditate on the word of God, and you continue to meditate on the word of God, all right? Because so that as a man who delights in the word of God, he bears fruit in his own season. I have my season. You continue to declare that word. And as you are doing it, you are ordering your life, your business, according to the word of God, the precepts. So people supply you things. You have money. Say, this money should yield some interest for me. Go and come tomorrow. The Bible says, lie. If you have the money there, it is commanded you pay then. Do you know that's what the Bible says? A Christian businessman is not allowed to be sharp. You know what I mean by sharp? In that sense. No. You don't use somebody else's money to be trading. Think you are smart. You have the money. You are owing him. God commands you pay. Your integrity as a Christian businessman must be strong. Gidigba. Strong. You know, I did something today. I don't know why I just feel like sharing this story. I gave a lecture to my students today. So I got to a particular point. It was the last part of the lecture. I was able to teach them one particular condition. So I said, well, the lecture will be in class for some time. This is a very difficult thing to explain. So we'll take it next time. Then something in my heart said, are you sure? So I just continued talking. I said, do you know why I said to you we'll take it next time? I said, anytime something is hard for me to explain, it is because even me, I'm not sure I fully understand it. The whole class started laughing. So I said, okay, guys, we'll take it next time, but it's not because of you, it is because of me. No, really. I turned everything to a joke. I said, that's why it's good to be a lecturer. I said, when you've forgotten something, just turn. I said, well, we'll be here for a while, we should start going. I said, the truth is that, do you know, the interesting part, I'll tell you this to surprise you. I said, okay, now having said that, we'll do it next time, all right? But suddenly, understanding just came to me. Things I thought I'd forgotten, I suddenly remembered them. I began to explain. This happens in the first generation. This happens. You see, amplification. I just kept on talking. At the end of the day, I said, all right, like I told you, I'll explain it better next time. But what I did in 5 minutes, I thought I had totally forgotten. And I wanted to just say, after I'm the boss, I'm the lecturer. What do you guys know? Then I said to them, I said, do you know why I said that? I'm actually trying to deceive you. I just said it out loud. And we all turned into a joke. I said, oh, you think I don't forget things? Oh, you think I'm Superman? There's no lecturer that's a Superman. No. And the whole thing turned to a joke. By the time I finished, I said, all right, so we'll close. I take it next time. That's what I said, but before I go, let me just say briefly. Do you know, suddenly I started remembering things. I suddenly had utterance to explain it. And when I finished, I said, all right, next lecture, I'll go over it again to make sure I got all the facts right. What have I lost? Nothing. In fact, I think I gained plenty. Yes, I think so. I think I gained more. I didn't lose. Sorry, you won't think I don't know it. Okay, I don't know it. All right, go and call police. My salary was even complete. Even the vice chancellor, there are many things he does not know. Back to business. In Christianity, it's like that also. Integrity. Many of the problems we are complaining, devil, there is not devil. We are not doing things right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me summarize in one word. We pray from a perspective of victory, that we are victors. In Christ Jesus, we have won. Let's rise to our feet. Let's close.
Once again, let's declare, say, in Christ Jesus, I'm a victor.
In Christ Jesus, I have won.
Say it, all things are passed away. Say it, all things are passed away. Everything has become new. Say, I am free.
I am not bound.
Say it, I am not bound. Satan cannot bind me. The devil cannot make me fail. Tap your chest, talk to yourself. Now, you're not declaring, you can say it loud, but say it really to yourself so that you'll be saying, the devil cannot make me fail.
Because Jesus has set me free.
Say, I order my steps before the Lord,
and I become great.
I'm quoting the life of Jotham. Say, Jotham became mighty because he... No, I'm just quoting it for you. The Bible says, Jotham became mighty because he ordered his steps before the Lord his God. Are you getting my point? Say, therefore, say, I am becoming mighty.
I am becoming mighty.
Because God has made me mighty.
My steps are ordered before the Lord my God.
Say, like you believe it, I'm not under the power of the devil.
I am in the kingdom of God.
I am not under the power of the devil.
I am in the kingdom of God.
Say, like you believe it, all things have passed away.
I'm not a normal person anymore.
I am a super person in Christ Jesus.
Jesus died to make me so.
Say it, I may have a poor background.
But right now,
I have been delivered from it.
My path is shining brighter and brighter.
I don't care about the curses of the ancestors.
I have a blessing in Christ Jesus.
Say, Jesus was nailed to the cross
to set me free from every curse.
I have been set free.
I will live long.
And I will prosper.
I will not die young.
Poverty is not my portion.
Say it, I am healed.
Completely.
From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
Irrelevant of what, that is, what my genes says, they are irrelevant.
Those things are irrelevant.
Because the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead
dwells in my mortal body.
And is giving life to my mortal body.
No matter what doctors say,
I will live,
I will not die,
I will declare the goodness of the Lord.
Say, like you believe it,
this is my life,
will manifest divine destiny.
My generation will know I came.
Because of the power of God working in me.
Let's say this, I'm above the power of witches.
I'm above the power of every evil spirit.
Jesus set me so.
That is, he set you on the high place. That's what I mean. That Jesus set me in that kind of high place so that I'm above. Say, greater is he that is in me
than he that is in the world.
Say, I am free.
Let's take this before we close. Say, I'm a citizen of heaven.
And I'm not going to hell.
Say it again. I am a citizen of heaven.
I am not going to hell.
I am a citizen of heaven.
I am not going to hell.
Even if I sin,
I confess my sins
and I am forgiven.
I am a citizen of heaven.
I am not going to hell.
Say it. I have given my life to Christ.
Therefore, I cannot go to hell.
Listen to this. The Bible says that anyone that has believed that passed out of judgment, they have passed into life.
Amen.
Listen, we are not going to hell.
Amen.
And they are showing hell video. Stay there and say, oh, this is for the sinner. For the sinner. It's for the devil and all everybody that follow him. I am not following the devil.
Amen.
You hear what I said?
Yes,
those who are going to hell are those who are following the devil and following his angels.
You are not going to hell.
God never sends anybody to hell whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what the Bible says. It's only those whose names are not found written in that book that are going to hell that will be cast into the lake of fire. Listen, you are not going to hell.
Amen. Say it, I am not going to hell.
I am a citizen of heaven.
I am a citizen of heaven.
Therefore,
I cannot go to hell.
Just say, Father, we thank you. Just worship and say, Lord, we thank you. Just say it in your own words. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his word.